Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David Meltzer, welcome to the show.
Oh, what a pleasure. And just so you know, I could not have been invited to a better show because it's episode 111 and I was born January 11th at 111. I wear a bracelet with 111 on it at all times.
Yes.
Right there, 111.
There it is.
There is no coincidences. They're just the coinciding of my attention and my intention. Tim Markland, thank you so much for having me with your community.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I do have to give a quick shout out to a mutual friend of ours, Chad Santrigan, who connected us. I was going to the Aspire Wealth Conference a couple months ago in Washington, D.C., got the opportunity to meet you there at a meet and greet, and basically said, hey, man, I got this podcast. I would really love to have you on. I said, I just filmed over 100. He goes, I'll be 111. I'm like, 111. And then, of course, that's what we got here. So good. Yeah, so good. So I have this podcast here in Bel Air, Maryland that interviews local businesses. We just kind of shoot back and forth about, you know, what we're going through, the pluses, the minuses, the struggle, you know, all that good stuff. And you have certainly been at this for a very long time. I've been watching a lot of things and listening to some of the things, reading some of your books to prepare for this. But the two books that I've most recently read, The Connected to Goodness and the Game Time Decision Making, really spoke to me. And it almost feels like at some times that books, good books that really can connect to you, come to you at the right time. And I've been really struggling with this kind of up and down of entrepreneurship and business because I'm a local realtor. You know, I have my own real estate business. These four pillars of happiness, can you break that down a little bit for us? Because I think that's so valuable.
And it is in my mission of empowering over a billion people, because in order to empower people, you have to understand the difference between power and force. You see, one thing occurs from force, trying to make things happen. That's counterforce. But empowerment or power comes from values. And those four pillars, those four values will just add value to what you're doing. It'll enhance and develop your skills. It'll enhance and develop your knowledge. It actually will enhance and develop your desire. And it's the skills, knowledge, and desires that will determine your potential, your truth. And so what I try to do is first set the most important pillar of gratitude. Gratitude is simple, but I want to remind people as I go through these simple values that the simple things to do are simple not to do. Gratitude is so powerful that there's not one person on earth that will tell you that it doesn't impact their lives in a positive way. There's not anyone that would doubt me if I told you to say thank you every day for 30 straight days that it would change your life for the better, guaranteed. There's not one person that would deny me that. And here's the silly thing about gratitude. Of course, it gives you perspective. It allows you and empowers you to find the light, the love, and the lessons when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where you want to be, especially if you're a real estate guy. Because several different days a week, there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where you want to be. And then somehow, some way, you get to where you want to be or even better. And so it's gratitude, actually. The simple 0.1 seconds that it takes, it's free, by the way.
It's free,
it takes 0.1 seconds. So gratitude provides us perspective. Number two, the most overlooked value or pillar, forgiveness. I started to study forgiveness years ago in a book called The Course in Miracles, and starting to understand that next to gratitude, the sister of potential is forgiveness. Because we are built for survival. Now, that's a good thing. We're not built for happiness. But if you want to reconcile surviving with surviving happily, you need to forgive yourself. Because in order to live, we need to make mistakes and learn from those mistakes. You see, life's about lessons. The lessons keep on coming until we learn them. We keep on making and learning the same lessons until we learn them. And we see that all the time. So forgiveness brings us ease. It allows us to be in the flow. It shortens the distance of resistance that we create for ourselves by thinking we can forcefully make our way to where we want to be or better, instead of being grateful for the evidence that is here today and being forgiven for the mistakes that we've made to get to where we are today. Now, the third pillar is accountability. There's only one purpose of accountability. It's to have control in chaos. You see, accountability gives us control in the chaotic world, because it allows us to say, okay, all this shit happened that I didn't want to happen. What did I do to be responsible for it happening? What did I do to attract it to myself? What am I doing to participate in the perception? So what? Mm. So I can learn from it. And when we learn from it and we perceive in forgiveness to learn from all of the shit that we don't want to happen, we actually take control back from the chaos. And we are now at ease and calm and confident and comfortable in the trajectory, so that we can utilize our discipline in a devotional manner to get to where we want to be or better. Then finally, the last one is effective communication. Most people think that I mean communicate with other people, which is part of it, but the real nuance of inspiration, of living in spirit with the infinite amount of intelligence, intuition, and energy that exists, is to understand how to communicate with the infinite itself. Mm-hmm. And so when we communicate with the infinite intelligence and allow it to come through us through gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability, we actually live in spirit. So instead of living your life trying to find your why, to figure out your purpose, you now apply your why. And each and every day, by stating, I am infinite, I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy, I'm just here to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in the law of attraction and manifestation. And certainly that's something that you talk to a high degree. And yet, when I think about the goals or the vision or try to get clarity or where I want everything to go, that can sometimes trigger anxiety. And so it's like this balance of like creating that direction, but not letting yourself get too far past today, because the only thing that we have in control of it right now is today and how we feel right now. How do you balance that? Yeah, to have big drive, big goals, but live in the moment.
That's probably the biggest conflict that people have in understanding the idea of manifestation and allowance and surrender, faith, wisdom, all of these different things. You see, what I try to do is to help people understand that the true nuance of goals or objectives is to set them and then categorize the behaviors to get there. You see, don't attach your emotions to, I want to make over $1 million. That's great to say. I want to make over $1 million as fast as I can, not by the end of the month, not by the end of the year, because that creates force, which creates counterforce, which creates resistance, lying, cheating, manipulating, overselling, back end selling, denying, all those things will occur. What I suggest you do is say, this is what I want or better. So I'll say, I want to make over $1 million as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. Now, once I set that trajectory of more than enough, all I need to do is categorize my behaviors and say, okay, are the behaviors activities of today? Because like you said, you're living in the same denominator, common denominator that I am. I call it God's guarantee that we have 24 hours a day, every day of our life, except for the last day we'll be cheated. So we're going to say both of us share the same objective. We both want to make over $1 million as fast as we can. Good objective. Now, today, I am going to look at my behaviors, either non-negotiable behaviors that say, no matter what happens today, I know that I need to spend a minimum of 7 hours on my sleep, minimum of an hour on my health, a minimum of hour on my family, a minimum amount of time on my finance, a minimum amount of time on my faith, a minimum amount of time studying time, and a minimum amount of time studying the meaning of that time, the relativity of it, which leaves me about 12 hours to prioritize and categorize, is this behavior, because I know the non-negotiable behaviors are aligned with me making over $1 million as fast as I can, taking care of my sleep, my health, my family, my finance, my faith, the study of time and relativity. But the other 12 hours of awake time, I need to prioritize by categorizing, is this activity, driving to this place, for example, is it aligned with me making over $1 million, or is it interfering with it? Is this thought, is this feeling, is this word, is this activity aligned with where I want to be or better, making over $1 million as fast as I can, or interfering with it? And when I start to categorize and attach my emotions to the behaviors, for the sake of making over $1 million, for the sake of helping a lot of people, for the sake of having a lot of fun, I now shorten the distance of resistance, decrease the amount of resistance that's incorporated in attaching my emotions to an outcome of I'll be happy when I make $1 million. Instead, I want to make over $1 million. And here's the behaviors, non-negotiable, negotiable each and every day that are either aligned with that or interfering with it.
Yeah. There's a Jim Rohn quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't memorize quotes.
Exactly. I'm with you.
And it's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately is I don't want to make $1 million to make $1 million. The reason why I want to make $1 million is to become the person that it's going to have to take to make that million.
Nice. I love
I love that. I love that. And that's more of what I'm focusing on. I feel like if the more value that I can bring on a consistent basis, it comes back to you. You can have everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. It's that law of whatever you put out there, it's going to come back without the, you know, I'm going to only do this because
I'm going to get something. I'm doing it because this is what I want to become and for the sake of what, not I'll be happy when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're a father of four?
Yes, sir.
Four kids. I have three daughters.
I have three daughters as well.
And baby your Luke. Youngest is the son?
The boy. Yeah, baby.
You got the boy.
Yes, man.
I said after three, I said, no way, man. No
I
way.
Did too. And somehow, you know, God gives you just what you need at the right time and right place.
Absolutely. And of course, you're married to Julie.
Yes.
So through everything that you are doing, you're traveling, you have speaking engagements, you got several businesses that you're running, and you're very philanthropic. You got a lot going on. How do you balance, or how do you leverage all of what you have going on while still keeping a happy family? Hopefully they're happy.
Yeah, they're very happy and healthy as well, which is one of the key components of being happy. But for me, first I seek harmony. And I mentioned earlier about having non-negotiable behaviors. Mm-hmm. I understand physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics. And I know that if you spend 2 minutes a day, every single day doing something, it's worth 2 hours on a Saturday. So just do the math. I have more time than most people because I am extremely devotional. That's disciplined, paying attention and giving intention to what I do, say, think, feel, and believe, aligned with the coincidences, the coinciding of what I desire, a new form of manifestation or a mathematical equation of luck. So let's take my three daughters, which you're familiar with having.
Yes.
I spend a minimum of 2 minutes a day with each of my daughters. Every day, 7 days a week, non-negotiable, no matter what the circumstances are. Now, people are like, that's awful. You only spend 2 minutes a day with your daughter. No, I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. I said I spend a minimum of 2 minutes a day. I negotiated that, by the way. I wanted five. They only gave me two. So you get that too, having daughters, trying to negotiate with a source that's higher of intelligence and aptitude than we are. But more importantly, I let them know I'm intentional about my 2 minutes if that's all I get one day. Mm-hmm. I make sure they know I love them, I'm proud of them, and I always have their back. I also question them about what they're doing today and ask them, did you do your best? What did you learn? And did you have fun? Now, I can do those things within 2 minutes. Now, some days I get 2 hours. Some days I get 10 hours, but every single day I get at least 2 minutes. And that allows me to create a harmony, not a balance, because there's no balance in family if you're only spending 2 minutes in one day with your daughters.
Right. But
there's a harmony and a consistency and an exponentiality of paying attention and giving intention in a devotional way, which means I'm disciplined about it in my divine direction of harmonizing my health first, with sleep and exercise, movement, water, nutrition, and breathing. And then my family. Julie gets a minimum 30. Son gets a minimum of 15, down from 30 because he's a sophomore in high school now. The girls get 2 because they're out of the house. Then I go to other relatives. But then I go to my finance. right? I make sure I spend a minimum of time. So when I'm on vacation, I'm not off the grid. I'm inconsistent. Do I spend less time harmonizing with finance when I'm in Cabo? Heck yeah. But I'm still up doing what I need to do. I just use non-time and schedule time in a different manner to harmonize my life. And in the end, if you harmonize your life, you will die in balance. A fourth in personal, a fourth in experiential, a fourth in giving, and a fourth in receiving in life's entirety.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. It's probably one of the greatest struggles that we face as entrepreneurs is that, in air quotes, balance, because that doesn't really exist.
No.
You know, but, being fully present when you are with that person is so important. You have interviewed a lot of different people, lots of high performers, a lot of common names that a lot of people know. Of all the people that you've met, who jumps off the page right in your mind right now that has been one of the more impressive or inspiring to you in your life?
A guy named Mike Mooseberger. I've interviewed Cameron Diaz, Deepak Chopra, Tony Robbins. The list will go on. Wolfgang Puck this week. Tim's doesn't matter. I Wayne Dyer before he passed. I've done them all. Bob Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Mike Mooseberger, who knows people, is still the second most downloaded podcast that I've ever done, because he tells a story, and he tells it in a way that provides so many great lessons about life. And I encourage everyone to download the playbook, Mike Mooseberger. And if it does not move you, there is absolutely no reason to be part of my community and listen to any of my podcasts. But I love the fact that it was so inspirational. Other ones that jump off the page are Ed Milet, and I have a podcast, Guap Day, that went off the hook that people love. Also one of my top ones, Deepak Chopra, Joe Dispenza. Those are some really good ones. Will I Am, I really enjoyed the conversation with him. Sharon Lecter as well. Bob Proctor, another great one. I've done 2,600 episodes of The Playbook, 4,200 interviews on Office Hours. That's TV show, podcast, and digital series. I average over 10 interviews a day, either giving or receiving. That's why I have to keep them to 20 minutes. Besides prioritizing picking up my son to take him from his classes to his golf team. So I can't miss that. I do want to offer, Tim, before I leave, everyone in your community. Chad means so much to me. You mean so much to me. We're going to do many more content, podcast shows together, in person and digitally. But I want to offer everyone in your community Connected to Goodness. I will pay for the book. I will pay for shipping. I will sign it and send it to anybody in your community if they email me. It's right there, david@dmeltzer.com. If you email me, I promise you I will sign it, send it, pay for shipping and the book. Ask Tim if it's worth it to email me.
It's a great
me.
Book. Yep, it's a great book. Got it from the Wealth Conference. Thank but then I would be remiss just to give you one last plug. You wrote a book, and it's going to be released in February.
Super Bowl.
And it is Don't Do Business with Dicks.
Exactly.
I need the whole title here. How to ditch toxicity and align yourself with positive influences. What inspired you to write the book, and what are you most proud of about it?
Inspired me because I am vulnerably letting everybody know what I did to interfere with my potential. And it was understanding the negative influences. What in this categorization of, is this aligned with where I want to be, or is it interfering? This paradigm shift of I am, what am I doing to interfere with it, is a life changer. And it's a phenomenal book with many examples of not just people, places, things, events, energies, and influences that you may or may not even be aware of that are interfering with your potential, your true self, your able and capable being that is blessed with an infinite, abundant, unified system of thought that we all belong to. It's very good. One of the unintentional nuances that I loved about the book is when you write a book at 58 years old called Don't Do Business with Dicks, there's a long line of people that are worried that they're listed in the book. I have such a big audience. And I love the fact that dudes are calling me, oh, I better not be in that book. I'm going to sue you. If you tell what I did to you, I'm going to sue you. I'm like, not a problem, man. I can handle the lawsuit. I don't even tell them they're not in the book.
Right. Make them think.
It's like that. That's what, you're old enough. You ever watch MASH when yeah. they had the one where like the worst attack was the one that never came. And they're all right. worried about when he's going to get him back because they were doing pranks yeah, on yep. each other. Yeah,
exactly.
That's the way I feel with the don't do business with dicks. But unfortunately, we're going to cut this one a tiny bit short. We're going to have you on my podcast. Yep. We're going to do more together in person, on the phone, via email, and social media. Tim Markland is the man. I want to thank Chad Sandrigan as well. What a blessing. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com.
And follow you on Instagram @DavidMeltzer, correct?
You got it. Or Google me, David Meltzer. You'll find me somewhere. Yeah. I'm available, accessible, gracious, productive, accessible. Anything with mercy, gratitude, and frugality is aligned with where I want to be.
If you don't know Dave, you need to get into his world. It's so worth it. David, thank you so much for joining me today on the TMA Connection. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you. We'll be back. Take care, Tim. Thank you.